driving the lane, crosses up Van Vliet, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the west side. No good. But she's going to get her own rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three. No,
nothing good.
She got it. Kansas Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
And we are live from the campus of Illinois State University. This is the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND and WZND.com, the pulse of Redbird Nation. Week 8 has nearly come and gone. At least I think it's week 8. Things are starting to get scrambled up. Midterm week is almost over. One of the most stressful weeks of everyone's life, but we've made it through it. It's a beautiful Thursday night. It's time for the Red Zone. We have a great show lined up for you guys today. We're going to be opening things up with Rachel Hickey from Redbird Cross Country. She's quietly been named the MVC Women's Runner of the Week for two straight weeks, so we'll sit down and we'll have a discussion with her. After that, we'll be talking some high school football as well as some ISU football, as the Redbirds had a tough loss last week. They'll be back on the field this weekend in Southern Illinois. After that, we'll be talking some ISU volleyball. We'll be joined by news and sports guest Nathan Keeney. Talk some postseason baseball, and we'll close things out with the pick six. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Illinois State infielder Owen Miller, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. 6:04 on the campus of Illinois State University, and not such a beautiful Thursday night, is it? It's raining out, but we're in here. We're doing our thing.
That's the thing. We're nice and cozy in the studio, so we're good. We're dry in here. We're ready to talk a little cross country. How about you?
Oh, I'm ready. It's a little warm in here, though. I was saying during the break, it's a little too hot in here.
It is. We could use a fan. I know Steve, our advisor, doesn't want it because of the noise. We can get some silent fans.
Silent fans are definitely a thing.
Absolutely.
So we're now sitting down with Rachel Hickey from Redbird Cross Country. And before we dive in, before we start having some fun, before we get into this interview, Rachel actually has a little bit in common with the rest of us down here at the radio station. Should I let her tell everyone?
Yeah, we let her tell it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hi. First of all, I'm also a journalism major, but that's not all, actually. I'm a journalism double major along with integrated marketing communications, and I'm also a minor in athletic coaching.
Okay. I'm sorry. That's impressive. I could barely handle one major. You're doing two majors, a minor, and a Division I athlete. You're a Division I athlete.
Yeah. How do you find time for all that?
I don't really.
Right?
You just kind of have to make time in some ways.
How many credit hours did you say you were taking?
I have to like average about 15 to 17.
Okay.
It's still two majors, a minor, and a sport.
Yeah.
It's still a lot.
15 to 17 credit hours, that's a lot. I mean, I took 19, and that was a grind, and I took 15 after that, and it was still a grind. So, but we're also not
school's a grind.
Yeah, we're also not playing sports and doing all that. You did bring up coaching, so I kind of want to dive into that really quick. Have you coached before? Do you have any experience with that?
I volunteered over the summers in high school with a youth track clinic, just kind of helping them out when they need to demonstrate a couple little drills and run laps with the kids, basically. So I've always been really interested in it, and it's also just to connect the whole sports aspect of it, because I definitely want to do something in sports.
Yeah, and I was just gonna ask you that. You said you want a future in sports, whether it's reporting, broadcasting. Is coaching also something you possibly can see yourself doing in the future?
For sure. I would definitely be okay with coaching in my future at some point, especially if the opportunity presents itself where I can volunteer assistant coach and still continue to train if my career goes that direction.
And I know you probably get asked this a lot, but what kind of gave you like the inspiration to want to go into like broadcasting and journalism? Because you work at the Vedette too, right?
Yes, I do. I'm a features and sports reporter at the Vedette. Okay. So I guess like I just was very interested in a lot of different things growing up. I thought about doing PT, and I can't really handle blood too well. And like I'm not a big I'm not a big science person. So I just kind of took a step back and like looked at my strengths, and I really just loved two things, and that was running and writing. And I realized I was significantly better than some of my classmates at writing as well. So I figured, why not find something hands-on to do with that?
And I'm sure you were probably significantly better at the running part than most of your classmates.
Sure.
I mean, just taking a look at what you've done just this year, you know, you've had really solid past 2 weeks, two straight weeks, MVC Women's Runner of the Week. You set, I believe it was you increase your 5K time by, or decrease your 5K time by 13 seconds or so, around there.
Yeah, I set a new personal best is how we refer to it.
Yeah, and then last week, you ran the fastest 6K out of anyone in the valley.
Yeah, arguably.
She's so humble about it. Yeah, I ran the fastest time out of anyone in the valley.
Well, that's good though, and I think even with our like what we do, and you being an athlete, you always want to get better, and you always want to push yourself. Mm-hmm. And would you consider yourself kind of like a perfectionist? Like you have to do things a certain way. If you don't feel a certain way, like it kind of, because that's how we feel like even doing this. So I'm sure even on your scale, mm-hmm. it's just like that too.
Oh, I'm definitely a perfectionist. Definitely very type A with a lot of things. Yeah, my planner is absolutely crazy. I have to write every single thing down. So
I like that. And so, I wish I could do that.
Oh, me too. And like, so do you have like, what's your routine? How do you get ready before every meet? Like, what gets you ready? What do you listen to? Maybe a little music. What do you eat? Like, give us the rundown before meet.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like the same kind of stuff every week. And it's weird because I get asked this question a lot, but it's one of the hardest questions for me to answer for some reason. But it's like the same type of breakfast every morning. If the race is in the evening, I'll have a cup of coffee. If it's in the morning, I usually won't. But just like a bagel and peanut butter type stuff. And then I guess just kind of hang out, try not to get too in my head. There's a playlist that a bunch of us made over the summer, a bunch of athletes, I should say, that went to Costa Rica over the summer for the U20 Pan Ams. We all collabed and made a Spotify playlist, so that's usually what I'll listen to. It's got a lot of random stuff in it. I can't really explain half the stuff in there, but it's fun.
And how was that experience down in Costa Rica?
I can't really put it into words how, like, exciting and how just, like, cool that was. I know cool is, like, a bad word to use.
Well,
it's
no,
not very descriptive.
I mean, I get it. Yeah,
but
no.
it really was just, like, life-changing for me.
So you got to do that, and then we'll stay kind of last year, too. As a freshman, a true freshman, you competed in the MVC Championships. You were in the NCAA Midwest Regional. What was that like, just being a freshman, you know, being at the NCAA Regionals where, you know, the country's elite are there? And mm-hmm. how'd that feel being a true freshman, being able to say, like, wow, I'm already a part of the country's elite?
It's definitely, like, the kind of stuff that I talked about with Coach Bovee when I was being recruited to come here. It was to be able to do that and be a contributor on the team right away. And, I mean, I definitely couldn't have done any of it without him or the help of Coach Brandt and my teammates. But I guess just knowing that, it gives me a lot of confidence. And that's part of what why this season has been how good, I guess, it's been, is because I've just had a lot more confidence on the grass and just started to believe that I'm a cross-country runner and I can run distance.
And with all the success that you've had, I mean, you've had a lot. What are some long-term, like, goals that you have for yourself? Because you're only a sophomore. I mean, you have two more years after this and the rest of this year. So what are, like, some goals that you're really shooting for?
This year, just, like, talking with Coach and kind of, like, what his ideas are and what my ideas are, we really want to win the Valley as a team. And so I just want to be able to do whatever I can at conference to help my team, whether that's winning and scoring 1 point or just being in the top five. Like, there are really good runners in the Valley, so I don't want to discredit any of them for sure.
Of course.
And then hopefully just try to get all region to set up for next year where we can hopefully qualify for the NCAA championships and cross. And then just looking at like the track side of things, just the same idea is, since I redshirted last year for outdoor, just having a really great redshirt freshman campaign to set up for the rest of my career. And at, hopefully at some point, depending on where I'm at, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, when I'm finally out of here, I'll be here a while. I can have kind of like what I was talking about earlier with the coaching type of thing, where I have the opportunity to keep training and hopefully keep competing at the next level.
And when you say coaching, do you want to coach like high school? Do you want to coach college? Like, is there a club for like running too, or is it more just school-based stuff?
I would definitely like to keep with like collegiates at some point.
Okay.
Just because I think that's where a lot of like the coaching success is as well. And coaching collegiates has always just been like not a dream of mine or a goal of mine, but it's been in my mind, I guess, that it would be pretty cool and just an experience I would like to have.
And are there maybe some Olympic aspirations anywhere in there? Because, you know, you're here running at Illinois State and you're really successful at it so far. I think that kind of have to be in your head. Is it there? Is that something that you might one day like think, let's do this?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, you're growing up as an athlete as a kid and you're like, yeah, I want to be an Olympian. Like, it's one of those childhood dream kind of things. But I obviously recognize like it's not going to be an easy journey whatsoever. It's going to take a lot of hard work and probably a lot of time too. But I think like just setting up for that right now is the best thing I can do and just being prepared to work that hard.
And you know, talking about the Olympics, do you watch the Olympics every summer?
Yeah.
Is that, okay, of course. Yeah. So like if you had to pick, so I'm guessing you watch track and field. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you probably love that. Who is like your favorite runner that you kind of watch or maybe even like kind of admire and try to, you know, be like that?
That's actually a really easy question. Emma Coburn, 100%.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, can you just like,
I was gonna say, I don't know if you guys know who she is, but
like Usain Bolt, like,
yeah.
No, Emma Coburn is one of the USA's best steeplechasers, and I don't run steeplechase, probably never will, but she's always been one of my favorite people to follow. I know she trains with Aisha Pratt, who actually ran here as well, who's an Olympic athlete from Illinois State. For Jamaica, so they train together, and just both of them, I just admire their characters and the way they carry themselves, and Emma's a world champ in the steeplechase, so.
And what is the steeplechase?
Yeah, so, it's kind of like hurdles for distance, that's the best way I can describe it, but.
And that's challenging, I mean, running itself is challenging, and then when you're tired and you're trying to jump. And hurdles.
Right. I could barely just do the running part. I could barely get past just the running part. All right. I want to ask you a couple more like lighthearted questions. Obviously, as an athlete, you travel to a bunch of different schools, mm-hmm. a bunch of different places. What's been your favorite either school or just different city, state that you've gotten to travel to with the team?
I would say with the team, I definitely really enjoy the Notre Dame trips that we take. We usually take one every season, cross, indoor, outdoor, or couple and indoor for like the Mayo Invitational, which is a big indoor invite that Notre Dame hosts. But, I mean, like this summer I got to travel to Miami with, Coach Brandt for the USA Juniors, and that was a lot of fun as well.
And see, in like playing hockey, I always had like a favorite brand skate. So I think that's kind of relates to you. Mm-hmm. Do you have like a favorite brand shoe that you go to, or do you kind of just wear everything?
I train in Asics. I've just always needed them. My feet have so many issues. I need the support of an Asics shoe, and Nike just doesn't provide that. But we are a Nike-sponsored school, so I will wear Nikes when I have to.
See, and running, I mean, when I think about it, I have some nightmares because I had really bad shin splints. Have you ever had anything like that with running or?
Minus the one injury last spring that put me on crutches and forced me to redshirt outdoors, I've actually been, knock on wood, pretty fortunate with major injuries. I've had a couple like IT band issues, but.
Okay.
And last question here before we let you go. Like I said, you travel a bunch of places. You've ran at a bunch of different schools, a bunch of different states. What's been the toughest course that you've ran?
I would say probably the course at UW-Madison. We ran that last year for the pre-national invitational, and I don't know if it was because it was below freezing temperatures that day or the course was really just that bad, but It was a rough day.
I know we said last question, but I
no, yeah, it's fine.
Going, it's going so fast.
Yeah, right.
Losing time, just some fun questions for you.
I know
you have such a busy schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still get to watch like Netflix or stream TV, anything like
oh,
that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I make time for that too.
She's like, absolutely. What's your like favorite go-to show?
Friends.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Breaking Bad?
I have not, but my brother is a huge fan.
Is he ready for the El Camino movie tonight?
I'm sure he would be, but he is up in the Cascade Mountains right now, so
really?
I don't think he gets television service.
What's he doing up there?
He's just doing some, like, I guess philanthropy work and managing some water systems up in Holden Village. It's like a little religious community.
Okay.
So.
Wow, that's
really
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow.
Get to go visit
that's
him
amazing.
In December, so I'm definitely looking forward to that.
So do you ski and stuff like that?
No, but I'm going to learn, I guess.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time and sitting with us here in studio. Rachel Hickey and the rest of the cross-country team next Friday will be in Peoria at the Bradley Classic. And then October 25th, they're at the Bulldog Invite in Carmel, Indiana. And after that, it's the Missouri Valley Championships. Rachel, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking some high school football and Redbird football. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Brady Davis from Redbird Football, and you're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZMD.
Brady Davis bringing us back into the show, and the timing was perfect, Scott, because it's football time.
It is, and what a great interview by Rachel Hickey. Before we get back into football,
it was a phenomenal interview, yeah.
And it's so cool how she wants to go into journalism and kind of do what we're doing. So, I mean, it's cool to have her get down, get some experience, talk
right.
to us.
Yeah, we get the chance to sit down and talk to athletes every week. At least once a week, but it's not very often that we get someone that actually has like a genuine interest in what we're doing, which was fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed that interview. We'll definitely try to have Rachel on again at some point this semester, but it's now time for some football. And someone was missing that first segment, Joey Dwyer. Obviously, you didn't hear his voice, but he's back. And Scott, do you want to let's see what Scott has to say.
Are you ready for this high school football segment, Joey?
I'm ready. I'd be more ready if you would talk into your microphone a little bit more.
The thing is, I'm talking into the mic, Joey.
It's like, tough. He's at a tough angle.
It's hard, yeah. When
yeah, cut him some
left,
slack.
So, yeah,
he does a great job on the board. It's a weird angle.
Joey
Scott, you're amazing.
But, Joey, you know what? I'm ready for you. So I'm going to play a little something for you, and you fire it up.
I appreciate it, Scott.
All right, let's talk a little high school football.
It's time for Thursday Night Lights. We start where we always do, the U-High Pioneers. After starting 0-4, they've made quick work of their last two opponents and look to keep the wins coming as they host the undefeated Glenwood Titans. That's going to be a good one. Next up, the Ironmen. The Normal Community Ironmen took a big win over Bloomington this last week, 43-26. Now they set their eyes to Danville, and these dogs are hungry. And boys, what do hungry dogs do?
They eat, Joey.
Thank you. Heading to south, the Purple Raiders look to bounce back from that loss to Normal Community as 3-3 Bloomington heads up 74 to take on the explosive Peoria Notre Dame offense. And finally, we make like the great American frontiersman and we head out west. After getting routed last week by Indianapolis Bishop Chattered 56-8, Normal West has an easy rebound game this week against the winless Manual.
I'm sorry. I'm pumped right now. I can't just stay seated. I could barely talk.
Joey makes me want to go outside, hit the quad, and throw a little pigskin around.
I know, boys.
Let's go
I want to hit
routes.
That come out. Yeah, I want to hit the bags right now. Just like how the offensive linemen do, like the you know what I'm saying?
Hit the slack. Joey's running a big house around the quad.
So last week's game of the week, the game which we had some sound from, we sat down, we talked about it a little bit, was Bloomington at Normal Community. And we said it on the show, it should have been a good game. It should have been a close game. It really wasn't, though. Normal Community came out on top, 43-26, which really shook things up in the standings. If you look at the Big 12 standings, kind of gave them sole possession of first place. We'll definitely keep an eye on that. The game of the week this week is Central Catholic at Rantoul. Central Catholic is 2-4. If you look at it, they need to win out to have a chance at making the playoffs. Good thing for them, Rantoul is 0-6. So Hopefully it'll be an easier game for Central Catholic. We'll be sure to keep an eye on that throughout the weekend, and we'll give you the recap next week as well as previewing the game of the week next Thursday. But last Saturday, the Illinois State Redbirds welcomed in the North Dakota State Bison. And it didn't go the way many had hoped.
This is the time where I love talking Redbird football, but guys, what's going on with Brady Davis? Is it time to give up on Brady
Davis? I just want to say that I was so happy that I was tailgating at this game. It made this loss a little more bearable to sit through. But yeah, 37-3. No offensive production. The defense was overwhelmed the entire time. And Scott, Brady Davis, we've been talking all year about how we have our doubts about Brady Davis, and it almost seems like they were all like our doubts were confirmed in this game.
And I don't want to hate on our quarterback because that's the captain of the team. But he threw 8-for-20 in this game. He threw less than 50%, and he had 121 yards in the air. I mean, he just got stuffed, and this has been game in and game out. He's so inconsistent. He'll come in, he'll have a good game, and then you just see a performance like that, and you lose all the hope that you have for him.
And I wouldn't even say that it's because, yeah, and I don't want to like keep talking down on him because we know he's a talented guy. He's a Division I quarterback. He's just not performing as many had hoped this year. And, Scott, you said he's kind of been up and down. He's really only had two solid games this year when they beat Morehead State and then that Northern Arizona game. And I'm pretty sure that Morehead State, most of the scoring was done on the ground and by the defense. So we really haven't seen – we saw one game in which Brady Davis came out and put on a show. Other than that, it's been all defense, all James Robinson. And we saw this past weekend that's not an efficient way to play football, because you're not going to beat the teams at the top of the standings.
And the thing is, when you have a running back who's as good as James Robinson, I saw a tweet today that he's projected to go the highest in the NFL draft out of anyone in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. When you have a running back as good as James Robinson, and you still can't have a balanced offensive attack, you have to be able to point the blame somewhere.
Well, and our defense, as good as they've been all year, so I don't want to discredit them, they gave up almost, I think it was like 299 yards on the ground. And, I mean, you battle, but when you have four, they had four running backs. They didn't just have one running back that was doing this to us. They had four guys. They spread out that offense, and we had James Robinson. He was the only guy that had 20 carries for 98 yards, and that's what's hard. When you have one guy playing, you're giving him so many reps. North Dakota State had so many weapons to use, and I think it just kind of frazzled our defense, and it showed in the game.
And I think North Dakota State just kind of showed. I mean, they've been showing it all year, but I guess they showed us here at Illinois State that they're once again flat out the team to beat, and not many other teams come close at being as good as they are, because we saw them not only put up 37 points on a really good defense that the Redbirds have. The Redbirds were at home. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. The Redbirds don't like losing at home. They lost 37-3. They ran all over and threw all over the defense, and they were able to kind of hold down James Robinson. And if you want to make a run in the playoffs, that's what you're going to run into. The teams that you are going to run into in the playoffs are good enough to be able to just go full out stopping the run. And if you can't pass the ball, you're not going to win games.
Yeah, and that's just been something that they've been struggling with all year. But if we look ahead, this weekend we have the Salukis. The Salukis come in. The last time we met this team, last year we won 51-3, and we had over 400 yards on the ground. And that was James Robinson coming out. He was in his sophomore year, I believe. So the fact that we have that and the fact that we're playing really well against the Salukis, I think this is a good bounce-back game for them. And you look at kind of the stats for that game, too. I mean, Brady Davis only went 10-for-15 through the air, and I mean, he hasn't really been, like, explosive since he's been here. So even if he has, like, a mediocre game and he plays kind of well and he becomes a game manager, I see ISU coming out with the win this week.
I'm still on the Jake Colby train, boys.
that's a big name.
He's long gone. But this is a big weekend for not only ISU, for both teams. You know, the Salukis come in, I think they're 2-3. Redbirds are 3-2. They're 0-1 in conference. This is a big game, because if the Redbirds legitimately want to have a chance to make the playoffs, because they're not going to win the conference. We saw it last week. North Dakota State is going to come out on top in the Valley. If they want to make the playoffs with an at-large, you kind of have to win out. And if you look at the football team's schedule after this, the final four games on their schedule, if the Redbirds can't get this air game going, it's going to be a tough end of the season.
But we have so many receivers that are hurt, too. I mean, we have some yeah. receivers, and that's tough. But when you look at our running game, James Robinson last year, he had like almost 30 carries in this game. And I don't know, I see them doing that again and going to him. But the Salukis, they're not a bad team. They're coached very well. Like I said, they lost 51-3 last season. They do not want to have that happen again. They're 2-3. They're looking to get back to 500. I think they maybe stack the box. They watch for a play like Robinson because all these teams are doing tape. They know just as much as we do. They're going to know that the receiving core is struggling. They're going to know that the quarterback is struggling. So they're going to stack that box, take out the big key weapon that we have, and that's going to be something that we're going to have to adjust for.
And that's why it comes down to next week. It comes down to how well the defense can rebound after this debilitating loss last week. And I think we have the key pieces that we need to have an elite defense and be able to shut down a team that's been struggling like the Salukis. But you really can't. And we were screaming at each other in the before the show about the Bears in the same way. You can't win games if you don't put up points, you know? And if they're stacking eight in the box against James Robinson, but then Brady Davis still can't expose, like, single-man coverage, then it's going to be a 7-3 game and the Salukis are going to win.
Yeah, you definitely need a complete football team, especially in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. We like to call it the SEC of FCS. So that just goes to show you how good the Missouri Valley Football Conference really is. But it's a big weekend for both ISU and Southern Illinois. The Redbirds will be down in Carbondale taking on the Salukis on Saturday. Kickoff for that game is set for 6 p.m., so keep an eye on that. We need to step aside, however. We'll come back with the newscast. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
This is Steph Jankowicz from Redbird Volleyball, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
6:36 on the campus of Illinois State University. This is the Red Zone. And before we dive into volleyball real quick, I just want to say it's week 8. We have 7 more shows this semester.
That's scary. That's 7. Scary to think about. It's going by so fast.
So fast. 7. I have 6. I won't be here, I think, in 2 weeks.
That Halloween show is going to be a fun one. Just me and Scotty.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good show.
Be sure to tune in. It'll be a good one.
It's going to be a good one. We're going to have something for the visual effect, too.
Oh, so yeah. You'll have to check it out online, too.
The YouTube channel.
We're going to be looking good. We'll leave it at that, but we're going to be looking good. Halloween night.
So be ready for Halloween night.
Halloween night, right here, 6 o'clock, Red Zone, Joey and Scott. But let's dive into the stuff that people really care about. ISU volleyball, the Redbird volleyball team, as we all know, got out to a crazy hot start, put on a show in the postseason tournaments, put on a show in the Redbird Classic. They beat one top 25 team, beat one team that was getting votes to be in the top 25, and then they took Marquette, was the number 7 team, I believe, to 5 sets. The Redbirds were 1 point away from going 3-0 in that tournament, but since then, things have kind of taken a turn. I wouldn't say for the worse, it's too early to say that, but things have for sure taken a turn for this Redbird volleyball team.
They've had a lot of injury problems, so I guess you can kind of chalk it up to that. But after, you're right, absolutely right, after the Redbird Classic that we had here at ISU, they really proved themselves, and they went out to Ohio State for the Buckeye Invitational and dropped all three there. They're 2-2 in the Valley right now, and they're just not looking like the team that we thought they were going to be heading into this year.
And they started out the Valley 2-0, and then they dropped two straight games to Evansville, and now they're 2-2 in conference. And the thing is that scares me a little bit is, you're right, we have suffered a lot of injuries, and we're getting to the later half of the season. We're 9-7 overall. I don't know, we're 2-6 in our last 8 games. We're not seeing a lot of, like, the younger players did come out, you know, Kushner and a lot of players like that, they came out and they're playing well, but I don't know, they haven't been able to finish. We're losing these games 3-2, so we're taking them to the 5th set, but I don't know if we're just running out of gas or what it could be.
And do we kind of, because if you look back, Kendall Meyer's injury occurred prior to the Evansville game. So she didn't play in that Evansville game. They lost that one in 5 sets. No Kendall Meyer. At Bradley, they lost that one in 5 sets, too. Do you kind of credit, can that be the blame for these losses, is Kendall Meyer being injured, not being able to be out there on the court?
I don't think you can put it all on the Kendall Meyer injury, but that is a big effect. As the libero, she was really the heart of this team.
Yeah.
And so going out, it really puts a lot of pressure on the younger players who might not have that experience. And we've talked to some of the volleyball players, and this whole team revolves around the how deep they are. But at the end of the day, there's still you're still missing a key player on your roster. And I think once she is able to get back, if she is able to get back before the end of the season, I think they'll start to see some improvement. But even if you look at their last two losses, they have Scott said they lost in five sets both times, so they're still playing competitively. So it's not like the all hope for the season is lost. They just have to work on closing it out in those big moments.
And they're going to have to really watch their defensive play this weekend. I mean, we have Haley Bush from Drake and Emily Plock, who are coming out and playing very well this season. They both lead the team in kills, so that's some heavy offense coming from them. I believe they're both juniors, so they're going to be here for the next 2 years. They're young, but, I mean, they're in the upper class here, so they're coming and they're going to play really strong. That's something that they're definitely going to have to work on.
Yeah, and the Redbirds on the road this weekend in Iowa. They actually flew out tonight for this road trip. This will put an end to, I believe, four straight matches on the road for the Redbirds. They have Drake on Friday. That game is set for 6 p.m. Drake is coming into that game with a 7-11 record. Four straight losses, however, so this Drake team really struggling coming into this weekend, but Northern Iowa, 11-8 on the season. They've won five straight, and this game is Saturday. First serve is set for 5 p.m. So for the Redbirds, we have one team losers of four straight, one team winners of five straight. That's probably as cold as you can get.
It's seven straight.
Seven straight. Seven Look, straight. I was wrong. That's
yeah,
even worse. That's two more wins. So you have one team playing as close to as cold as you can get, and then you have another team playing as hot as you can get.
And they're coming off ISU soccer. They're coming off a 1-0 win. But let's not – I know we always gear our attention towards Kate Delafava, which, in respect, she's got 13 goals in 13 games with 4 assists. So, I mean, she's a very solid player, the reason why she – I think we're doing so well. But I look at another name, guys, Haley Smith. She has been playing unbelievable. And that's just something that you need. You need a solid goaltender, especially in a game of soccer.
And, you know, as a former goalkeeper myself,
intramural
indoor soccer out here, I consider myself a little bit of the expert in the room. But she's been playing out of her mind. Scott, you mentioned it. In their last seven wins, she's only given up 3 goals.
She has.
And five of those wins have been shutouts. That's insane.
And they're coming in. They're playing a Valpo team that's 0-11-1. So ISU soccer 9-4, I have a really strong feeling they're going to come out and get their eighth game here, their eighth win in a row. The team that they're playing has a total of 6 goals on the year. So not a lot of offense coming from that team, and especially with our defense that we have and our offense that we have, I have a feeling ISU is going to come away with a very solid win.
So we have Redbird soccer at Valparaiso on Saturday. That game is set for 7:30. To jump back over to the volleyball court, Redbird volleyball is in Iowa. They have Drake tomorrow at 6 p.m., and then they'll close the weekend taking on Northern Iowa. That one is set for 5 on Saturday. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be diving into some postseason baseball. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Hi, this is Paul DeYoung, former ISU Redbird, current St. Louis Cardinal. You're listening to Red Zone on WZND.
Paul DeYoung, bringing us back into the show, and our Redbird, one of our own, is getting ready to play for a National League championship.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's still a Redbird. He's a Cardinal.
Hey, it's all right. I'm a Cubs fan, but he's a Redbird. Go, Paul. Paul DeYoung, 4-for-4 every game in the CS, 4 home runs. As long as the Cardinals still lose, I'll be happy.
There you go.
We're now joined by Nate Keeney, and it was his idea to come talk about, in my opinion, the best month of the year. We have, not only do we have NFL football, we have NHL hockey starting up, we have the NBA starting up, but the best of all, we have some MLB playoffs.
There's nothing better than October baseball.
Nothing better than October baseball. You don't know what you're going to get. Every pitch, you watch a baseball game, it's like every pitch, it's almost as if it's the bottom of the ninth inning, bases loaded. It just, the environment, the electricity, even on the TV, I can't take it. I love it.
And this comes to such a big surprise to me. The Washington Nationals? What is going on with the Washington Nationals? Where did they come from? Because I see you got the hat on.
Yeah, I had to throw a little shade towards the Cardinals fans around campus, but listen, guys, Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer, those guys are unreal. The way that Max Scherzer can come into a game, even out of the pen on short rest, and still dominate, you can't see another guy doing that.
And I saw towards the end, it was about the eighth inning in L.A. last night, I saw the camera cut to Max Scherzer, and he was standing right next to Dave Martinez in his ear, and I told my roommate Isaac, we were watching it together, I was like, Max Scherzer's pitching tonight. And what did Max Scherzer do?
He pitched.
Not only pitch, he shut him out.
Yeah.
Which Clayton Kershaw could not say the same.
What a tough go for him. Like, coming in, facing three batters. I was telling Joey a stat this morning on Wake Up Normal. He's faced three batters last night, gave up two home runs. Mariano Rivera, in his playoff career, 257 batters faced, two home runs allowed.
And you have to think, like, this is not the first time Clayton Kershaw's come in a relief effort and blown it. And so you have to think, if you're the Dodgers, like, managerial staff, why do you put him in that situation? Like, I understand he's your he's your ace, but he's proven that he's not a very good relief pitcher, and you put him in, and you basically blow that game. And the Dodgers, for a lot of people, were the World Series favorites coming in, and now they got dispatched by the Nationals in the DS.
All I want to say, I'm sorry, but I'll let you get your point across. All I want to say is the Dodgers are this decade's Atlanta Braves. I believe this was the seventh or eighth straight playoff appearance for the Dodgers. They had made it to three straight World Series, not a single ring to count for it.
And that's the thing. They spend so much money on players. They have one of the best lineups in baseball besides the Houston Astros, but they're in the AL. And they still can't get it done. I know they've gotten close, but, you know, close isn't good enough. And that's with any team in the MLB and all their fans. If you're not winning a World Series, then you're just not getting the job done.
I was discussing with one of my roommates actually last night after the Game 5 loss. And he says, oh, I'm happy for the Dodgers. They lost. They've been in the playoffs, this and that, for so long. And he's like, oh, they've been to so many World Series. They have yet to win one. You can get to the playoffs year in, year out. But as long as you don't get that championship, it goes for naught. I would much rather take 1 year in the playoff, get that championship, than year in, year out playing deep into the playoffs.
And as a Nationals fan, this has got to be exciting for you for your first NLCS and making it past the divisional round.
Actually, not quite a Nationals fan. I just have to throw a little shade at the Cardinals.
So you're not an actual Nationals fan, but you got the hat. I know you're a Colts fan, so who's your baseball team?
I'm a Cubs fan, actually. Through and through, yeah.
Okay. Imagine me sitting in a room with three Cubs fans. I thought better of you, Nate. I really did.
All right, so we know the Dodgers blew the series. They're sitting on their couches watching the rest of the playoffs at home, but they weren't the only series. We're actually watching Game 5 of the Astros-Rays game right now. Astros lead that one 4-1. The Rays hit a solo home run in the top half of the second inning, so that one's at 4-1. But Nate, what did you think about the Yankees Twin series? And Joey will have a lot to say about this because the Twins are in the AL Central.
The worst
that a choke job getting swept? I didn't expect them to win the series, but did they kind of just show everyone that regular season was a fluke by getting swept by the Yankees?
I think that's the best way to put it, because going into this playoffs, everyone knows there's two powerhouse teams. Well, three, the Dodgers being one of them, and they're now gone. But the Astros and the Yankees, you expected Minnesota to get at least one game, maybe at home. But to get swept, like, I know the Yankees are phenomenal, but their pitching staff isn't what it used to be. And I'm like, the AL Central, I'm going to say it's probably the weakest division in all of baseball.
Here's what I'm going to say
about agree more.
Oh my goodness. Here's what I'm going to say about the Minnesota Twins. We're going to get into a little baseball theory right here. So, the Minnesota Twins lineup is filled with true outcome hitters, which means they either strike out, walk, or hit a home run, right? And so that worked for them because they were playing admittedly kind of garbage teams in the AL Central. And so they were able to take advantage of this bad pitching. They broke the single season record for home runs, and their offense looked super explosive. But as soon as they ran into this good team in the Yankees, it showed that they were not actually on the same caliber as the rest of the teams who were in the playoffs.
And the Twins, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. The Twins have lost, I know it's double digits, maybe 12 or 13 straight games in the playoffs against the Yankees. They just, and it seems like every year the Twins are like, all right, the Twins are good. They might make a run this year. They have that first round matchup with the Yankees. Don't win a game. Happened again. I think the Yankees are the team to beat now. I don't think there's enough. I don't. Depending on the outcome of this Astros Rays game, I think if the Rays win this one, you might as well hand the Yankees the World Series.
I see that, but Houston is so strong, and they will be for the next couple of years the best team in baseball. I'm not a Houston bandwagoner, but I'm just looking at the facts, and they are unbelievable.
But they got to beat the Rays first. They got to win this game.
But everybody does, and you know, and everybody has to play games, and they're up 4-1 right now in the bottom of the second. They're looking good, and they're at home. So I mean, being up 4-1 early and being at home, that helps.
That was deep, Scott. Everybody's got to play games.
Everyone's got to play. I mean, that's what you're saying. Everyone's got to win. We're all out here playing games.
Like, but I don't know. The Yankees aren't like this unbeatable monster to me. I'm not sold on them being the team to beat. I think right now, after the Dodgers got dispatched, I think it's and the Rays have made the Astros look very beatable in this series. I think it's anyone's game at this point.
I totally agree, but I have to disagree with Hector. I think if the Rays get to this ALCS and play the Yankees, the Rays have one of the best pitching staffs in all of baseball.
They do. They're sneaky good.
They've been slept on literally the entire year.
But can they out-hit the Yankees? Because
look at all those weapons, even in the outfield.
That's what I'm saying. Barry like Sanchez. The Yankees, every single guy that steps into the batter's box has the ability to park a ball 450 feet into the stands.
And that's
like,
scary for any team.
And they're in the same division. We saw what the Yankees – I'm not sure what the exact split the records between the two are when they play each other. But we saw the Yankees dominate the American League East. Like, I think the Yankees are such good hitters that pitching isn't – if you have good pitchers, good for you. I think the Yankees are still going to put up numbers.
When I think about it, the Yankees, they're great hitters, but – are we taking something away from the Astros? Their lineup is just ridiculously full of, like, absolute great hitters.
I mean, the Astros definitely rely more on their pitching, though, which is not a bad thing when you have Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander.
Like, and Zach Greinke now.
Yeah, they're insane on that rotation, and it's that's what makes them truly formidable.
Let me ask you guys a question that kind of just stands in my head when I think of October playoff baseball. Does it feel more like playoff baseball when they're playing in the cold, the players have those, like, masks on, like, you can see the breath coming out? Like, that's playoff baseball.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm watching playoff baseball in, like, L.A. or something like that, or even in Houston, it feels like an everyday game.
I know. It's like, you got to have the guys in, like, the full sleeves. Like, I guess it was kind of chilly in Atlanta last night because Marcelo Zuna had, like it looked like he was wearing like three Under Armours. He played his heart out. So I mean, and that's what when you see the I think just any sport looks better in cold weather.
When a pitcher's got a jacket on when he's on the bases, that's one of my favorite scenes.
That's the best.
That's playoff baseball in my opinion.
So you brought up Marcelo Zuna. I don't think anyone predicted the NLCS to be the Cardinals and the Nationals right now. Like coming into the playoffs, I couldn't have seen that as the NLCS.
Especially after the Nationals lost Bryce Harper. And now that we see that, they had Bryce, they had an elite right fielder. He leaves, he goes to the Phillies. The Phillies are unheard of all year. He really didn't produce for the money that he was getting paid. And now his team's kind of rallying around with the players that they have, and I love to see that. I think maybe – but what does that say? Does that tell you that Bryce Harper is maybe not a locker room
guy? And it was also so fitting to watch the Phillies have their – they were mathematically eliminated by the Nationals in Washington. Yeah. It was Bryce Harper's homecoming, and they were all just chanting Bryce Harper. It was hilarious. And it's like – that's like the ultimate revenge as a fan, you know?
Exactly, because being a fan, I mean, they were going to give him the money. They wanted him to stay. They were going to pay him, and he opted out. Like, he wanted to leave. So, I mean, this is all – it's bittersweet. I'm sure he's watching the playoffs. I'm sure he's watching his old team go far. And I'm sure he's got a lot of players and teammates that he had that were good friends of his. But in a way, I'm sure he's kind of missing it a little bit.
What the Nationals did this year just showed me that there's – aside from Bryce Harper, there's eight other guys on the diamond. There's about 16 or whatever. That's quick math. I'm not good at it. But there's about 16-ish other guys on the bench in the bullpen. Yeah, you're Bryce Harper. Yeah, I get like Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Manny Machado. Those guys can put a team on their back, carry them into the World Series. But that just goes to show you that it's not all about those stars. I mean, Juan Soto just walked up facing Clayton Kershaw, took the first pitch, and tied the game up.
Victor Robles, too. He got injured, but he's a stud.
Anthony Rendon, Clayton Kershaw, put his team within one, right? So it's more than just that one guy. Good for the Nationals, honestly. Good for them.
And they played well.
Bryce Harper, some people don't like the way he handled that situation. Before we take a quick break and end the show with pick six, let's go around the horn. Let's get a World Series matchup and a World Series champion. Scott, you go first.
Oh, that's going to be a tough one. As much as I don't want to say it, I think it's going to be the Cardinals, and I think it's going to be the Astros.
Who wins?
I think the Astros.
I'm going to throw a bone in there. I'm going to be fun. Let's go the Tampa Bay Rays.
Okay. So they got to come back.
I think they're going to come back. They could do it. The Tampa Bay Rays against the Washington Nationals with the Rays being the World Series champions.
That's fun.
That'd be a good one.
I like a Tampa Bay Rays World Series victory. I'm also going to go I'll go Yankees Cards, and I'm going to say the Cards win. They feel like a team of destiny.
Yeah, the Cards scare me. I'm not going to lie. They might be a team of destiny. I'm taking the Yankees out of the American League, though. Give me the Nationals out of the National League. Yankees taking it. I think the Yankees are the team of destiny. If they don't win the World Series this year, this would be the first decade, and I don't know how long that the Yankees didn't win the World Series. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll close things out with the pick six. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
It's the pick six. Only on the pulse of Redbird Nation. 103.3 WZND.
Oh, the best time of the week. Pick six. We'll dive right into it. Everyone had a rough week last week. We'll take a look at the week five standings. At the top of the standings, you'll find myself, Joey, and Steve all tied at 15-15. All three of us went 2-4 last week. Tough week for all three. Underneath, the first placers. You have Scott, 13-17. Scott, rough week, 1-5.
It's a rough week after I said I was going to have a really good week. So let's just, we're going to look past it. I'm ready to go.
And just like normal, we have the guests sitting down at the bottom of the standings, at 10-20. So, Nate.
I'm going to try to help these guys
out. They need a big 6-0, and they need it bad. They need it bad. We'll take a look at this week's picks. We'll open up things with Scott. The first game on the docket. Seahawks at Browns. Who are you taking?
I just don't trust Baker. I'm going to have to go with the Seahawks.
I'm taking the Browns. I think they're going to pop off this week.
Yeah, I have not seen anything from the Browns that makes me think they're going to pop off. And Russell Wilson's playing like an MVP. So we're going to go with the Seahawks on that one.
Steve Cease taking the Browns. I'm taking the Seahawks. If the season ended today, it doesn't even matter. Russell Wilson's winning the MVP this year. That he's just on top of his game. Next game, Texans at Chiefs. Scotty.
Yeah, Mahomes is coming off a loss. I think he's going to bounce back and get the win here.
Yeah, Scott said it. I think Pat Mahomes isn't going to lose another game all year.
I think he might lose a couple more. He's got the Bears on the schedule, but this is not going to be one of the games he loses. We're going Chiefs.
You scared me a little bit there.
Steve's going Chiefs. I'm going Chiefs. You got to go Chiefs there. They're going to rebound. Up next, this is a good one. Eagles, Vikings. Scotty.
I love the Eagles, but you know what? I think the Vikings, if Kirk Cousins keep throwing like he is, we're going to go with the Vikings here.
I had a tough time on this one. I'm going to take the Eagles because the wide receiver problems in Minnesota are too great to overcome.
Yeah, there's a reason why Scott is behind the rest of us in pick six, and it's because he picks guys like Kirk Cousins.
Dalvin Cook.
Adam Thielen. Yes, Scott, if Adam Thielen had a quarterback who could actually throw to him, we're going to go with the Eagles on this one.
Yeah. Steve's going Eagles. I'm going Eagles, too. The Vikings are bad. They're just bad. Stephon Diggs wants out of Minnesota. Kirk Cousins, you give him the shot. You give him a shot to throw the ball 50 times, he'll complete three of them. After that, Saints-Jags. Scott.
I'm going to have to go with the Saints. Teddy Bridgewater, baby.
I'm right there with you. The Saints are winning that one.
I picked Teddy B up for our fantasy league this week, boys. So let's hope the Saints pop off a little bit. We're going to go Saints.
I'm going with the Saints. Steve's going with the Saints. That's easy. The Jags, Gardner Minshew, yeah, but it's the Saints. After that, 49ers, Rams, Scott.
The Garoppolo effect. 49ers, we're staying undefeated.
49ers going to receive their first loss this weekend. Ooh. With Jared Goff.
Scott, you almost had me. Scott was trying to talk me into taking the Niners.
You got to.
But the thing is, they've played nobody.
What do you mean?
They've played garbage teams, Scott. They've played absolute garbage, and the Rams are... As mediocre as they've
You're
looked,
lucky we're out of time.
They're not a garbage team, so we're going to go Rams.
Yeah, Steve's going Rams. I'm going Rams. Hopefully for Scott that works out. He's playing the game. Maybe he'll get that one game up on everyone else. final game on the docket. This is a big one, especially for Steve and Bears fans. Lions, Packers. Scott, who do you have?
Steve Cease. I'm riding with you. We're going with the Lions.
I'm taking the Lions, too. I hate the Packers. Can't do it.
You know what, boys? Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to say Packers, but I want to say Lions so bad, but we got to go Packers. Oh,
wow. Yeah, Steve, of course, going with his team, the Lions. And this is probably the last time I'm ever going to say this, ever. Go, Pack, go. We're taking the Packers. And unfortunately, you know, all good things have to come to an end. That's the end of our show. First things first, Nate, thank you so much for coming on, joining us, talking some MLB playoffs, some pick six.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, we'll have you on soon again.
Can't wait to be
back. At least one more time this semester.
Hey, Nate, how would you rate your first time being on here? How'd you like it?
Oh, I give it an easy 10 out of 10. I had a great time. I had so much fun in here with you guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No doubt about it. Scott, thank you so much for yet another flawless and phenomenal job on the board.
I think it was a great show. I think all of us here.
It was a great show. We were on our game. We were on our game. Joey? We were on our game. That's all I have to say.
It's been a long day for me. Listeners know I was on Wake Up Normal this morning, so it's been a 12-hour day for me on the radio. So I'm ready to go home, watch some Thursday Night Football, and fall asleep.
If you missed any part of today's show, you can go on to WZND.com. We'll have the show up on our website shortly. A quick thank you to Rachel Hickey and Redbird Cross Country. That'll do it from campus of Illinois State University. Thank you for listening to The Red Zone.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.